Welcome to the Dope Black Woman podcast, the podcast where we share stories of Black excellence as part of our safe digital sisterhood. I'm Leanne Levos.
I'm Rashan, but you can call me Shan.
I'm Livs.
This week on the podcast, we're speaking with sexual wellness content creator Scotty Unfamous.
Hi!
Hey, what's up? How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm good, good. Shan, how are you doing?
Do you know what? Yeah, not that great. So just before we started recording, something pissed me off. So I'm trying to like contain the pissed offness, if that's a thing.
And then
after, so I want to go back to being pissed off again. So
trying to keep it professional.
This conversation. Yeah. But I know this is gonna be a good chat, so it's gonna put me in a good mood, so it's fine.
Yeah, I'm kinda like nervous. I'm so sad that Livs isn't with us. So Livs, our other co-host, is not with us today. She's not feeling 100%. So
it's
just Shan and I that you have, Scotty. Okay. We'll make up for it.
It's fine. We're going to have a good time, girls.
Yeah, I'm already excited because before we started recording, the first question that Scotty asked was, are there any rules? To which we said, absolutely not.
And, you know, I just had to make sure because, like, I'm a bit of a potty mouth in it, so I didn't want to come here like, fuck, you guys are like, whoa!
No, you fuckity-fuck all the way. So one of the things that we usually start off when we have guests is asking them to introduce themselves because they always do it better than we do and tell us what makes you a dope Black woman.
Okay, cool. Right, so my name is Scotty Unfamous. I am a multi-award-winning erotic fiction author. I'm joking. And a sexual wellness educator. I call myself the sexfluencer because I convince women to buy sex toys and masturbate a lot, which I love. It's the mood. So in my career so far, I've worked with people such as Love Honey and Durex and Lalo. Mm-hmm. If you guys don't gas me.
We're here to gas you, guys.
Okay, keep gassing me then. I also featured on Channel 4. I worked with Channel 5 recently, but that's going to be out next year. What else do I do? I've been in Teen Vogue and in Complex Magazine and Grazia and on BBC One Extra and BBC Woman's Hour, and I'm trying to throw everything in there. And I also hold sexual wellness workshops because I'm dedicated my whole, actually, this is my dope woman answer as well, why I'm a dope Black woman, because I dedicate my life to making sure that Black women live their best whole lives. That's why I'm a dope Black woman.
Yes.
But I guess that's it about me. Oh, and I also like teach to teenagers as well. I know I can't believe that people let me teach kids, but I do. So there we go.
Shan will tell you that we talk about sex on the podcast a lot.
Oh, good. My favorite
there
subject.
There was actually an episode before this where we discussed sex toys that I had bought all of the girls. So this is actually really nice that we get the full expertise on sex toys and recommendations. And Love Honey is also one of my favorite websites to buy sex toys from, generally.
Yeah, they're really good. Yeah. They're really
good. They're so affordable, right? Because sex toys are generally pretty expensive.
Yeah, they can be, depending on what you want to go for, to be honest.
Mm. Yeah. Do you know what's jokes? Yeah, I don't really know about all these things. But I get gas and I go on these sites, I'm looking at all the sex toys, I'm looking at all the tire upper stuff. I'm looking at all these things that, I'm gonna get this, I'm gonna try this. It's in my basket now, you know. All these sites, my basket's like £500, £500, £500.
Have you bought any of it?
No.
Window shopping for sex toys online.
Basically. But you know, Leanne got me a sex toy and there's the
bought her a wand.
That toy
is
good.
That toy is mad. Garza toy, right?
It is. Because normally, like, we recommend people, get a bullet, but you know, bullets are really dead. Like, I don't really like recommending them. But if it's like your first time ever and you don't want to like splash out on the set, so you can get them for like a tenner or something. But wands, Once, bitch. Oh my god, Wingardium Leviosa to your clitoris, like Harry Potter. Now, you know that one, like the magic one. But now, wands are a madness, you know.
Do you know, yeah, even just talking about it now, I'm getting a little tingle. No, because the one that Leanne got me, honestly, I think it has like 21 modes or 20 modes, yeah. I only use number one. Do you know what?
You really don't like what? Because obviously, I have like fuckloads of sex toys. As you look, cause that thing behind me on the door.
Oh wow!
Yeah, that's full of sex toys and tie me up things as well.
But give some away.
Oh my god! Do you know anyone that comes to my house ends up living with it? I'm just like, take it, just please.
No, I don't want to give mine up. That's so weird. I have a Tesco bag, which is far less exciting.
Like, I used to have a Tesco. I used to have them in a Tesco bag. I was like, no, this is too many now. Like, they were in like every corner of my room. I was like, it's enough.
Oh my gosh, on this topic quickly, yeah. Mm-hmm. Have you guys ever like had someone who shouldn't see your sex toy see it? Because I imagine, yeah, I went away for my birthday, mm-hmm, and my boyfriend like was video, like he ends up having a water fight in the morning in the hotel. Don't ask me why I'm acting like a 12-year-old, but we moved. No, stop. He put the video on Instagram. So I'm showing the picture to my mama of us in the hotel having a water fight, and she's like, what's that in the corner on the floor? Listen, it's
my neck massager.
Like, the thing is, my mom's cool, yeah, so I don't even mind. Yeah. By the point that we recognized it, it's been up there for like 22
Instagram.
Hours.
Oh my god, yeah.
Like, Instagram. I'm tagged.
Wait, is
I'm
his profile
not...
public or is it private?
I don't know if it was public that weekend because he changes it. I don't even know why, but he changes it often enough. But even so, I was like, not that I'm embarrassed, because I'm not embarrassed. I don't care. That's something that I do. But why is the whole Instagram got to know I had it there? Oh my god! That's funny. Can you guys relate to that ever? Like someone seeing the toy that basically doesn't need to see it.
Because this is what I do, isn't it? Like I review sex toys. Like my dad normally like brings them up to my room. Like, you got another one. Like, it's enough. Or if they come into my room or whatever, and like I said, like they're just kind of stashed everywhere, and like now he thinks that everything electronic in here is a sex toy, which is very funny. He'd be like, what is this? I'm like, it's a face brush, dad.
It's a mouse. Yeah, my laptop.
Exactly. Do you know what I mean? It's a lamp, dad. The fuck. But yeah, and then I guess my mum, well, to be honest, I go and like show them to her because she doesn't really like talk about sex, so I find it hilarious. Like, I remember when my partner got me a bondage kit for Christmas, and I remember opening it, and I went downstairs and like threw the contents on her bed, like, look what he got me. And she's just like, oh my, can you go away? Like, she just had enough of my shit.
So would you say that your parents were not exactly excited about you taking this path?
It wouldn't have been like, oh, I want my daughter to grow up and be a sex bugger. Like, that wasn't their thing. But I will say, they have been like really supportive in what I do, because they see that I am actually helping women, you know, and especially because I focus on helping Black women. They recognize that it's something that the community needs, because we don't really talk about it so much. Like even over the past weekend, my dad and I did an IG live together, sort of talking about talking about you know, what he thought of my profession, and you know how he handled, like, because he's the one that gave me the sex talk and all that stuff, so sort of like educating me, his daughter, you know, through all of this stuff. And we spoke about just sexuality in Black culture, and you know how we sort of approach it. You know, we're quite conservative. We don't really speak about it too much. I mean, unless you get on like things like this, like podcasts and whatever. And like, there's always like the little loud Larry girls that are like, yeah, I love dick. And then everybody else is like a silent watcher, like, he's a dick, bitch.
Just joking. My nan actually listens to this podcast.
Oh, is it? I love that.
I'm joking. I don't suck dick.
No, she's not.
Wait, but did your nan buy you a dildo for Christmas one year, Shan?
Oh my god, I love that. Love that so much.
No, I was talking to Leanne the other day and I was saying my nan was listening to the podcast. I didn't even realize. She was like, so I've learned a new word. I'm like, what's that? She's like, side man, is that what you call it? I said, oh my gosh. She's like, yeah, so I was a bit surprised to find out what you've been up to in Antigua. I said, no, stop. She was like, yeah, and Leanne. I heard some stories about Leanne too. I was like, no. I was like, Nan, why are you listening to my podcast? She was like, I was up in the morning. I was up one day. I couldn't sleep. And I thought, oh, I want to listen to a podcast. I want to listen to Rashan's podcast. I said, Nan, you did not need to choose mine. I have all the available podcasts available.
No, she did. She did. She did. Good.
No, you she did not.
My godmother is a white woman from Bermuda. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I sent her the podcast and she was like, you know, Leanne, I was listening to the podcast and I really wanted your godfather, who is also a white man from Bermuda, to hear what you're doing. And I just, you know, but then I tuned in and I started playing it on the speaker and you started talking about polyamory and how you prefer polyamory as a relationship. And I just, it started a whole lengthy conversation.
I love that. I mean, okay, like that's worse. Because Richard, because obviously, like, your nan gave you a dildo, so it's like, okay, it's calm. But like, your god was like, we tuned in to see, catch up and see you up to. It's like, I like fucking everybody.
I'm a long gone daughter.
Oh, that's funny.
So how did you start on this path? Like, what is sexual wellness, first of all? Because I think there is probably a lot of misconception. I know Shan's very well versed in the idea of sexual wellness, but I am less. I just like talking about sex. I don't know what that means. Tell us what sexual wellness is, Scotty.
So sexual wellness, I think it sort of encompasses everything to do with sexuality. So from sexual pleasure, sexual health, how your sexuality can help with your mental state, and I guess sort of like body care comes into it as well, obviously learning up things about consent, you know, how to approach communication with your partner, all everything that is basically comes under sexuality, like different types of sexuality, genders and all this kind of stuff, everything just under one lovely blanket with a nicer name than sex education. Wellness.
And what you said is true, right? Because I think as Black women, certainly for me growing up, I did not even have the sex talk with my parents. Like, my parents were not interested. My father was one of those people that was like, I was not allowed to be in a room alone with a boy before I was the age of like 18.
Oh, yeah, proper. Mm.
Yeah, so things like masturbation were just not even a conversation or how to be comfortable with your body. And so I mean, I think that's true. Shan, is that true for you as well? Did you grow up that way?
You know, yeah, I was just thinking about it because when Scotty said she had a sex talk, I was like, I never had that. And it's like with my family, like my mum's side of the family, no, in fact both sides, they're like, the immediate family. So with my, let me start that again. So with like my immediate family, so like my auntie, my nan, whatever, they're all really open with it. So there was no introduction into it. It was one day like, oh, do you want these Kama Sutra cards? I didn't use them. They're really good. Until this day, I don't know what the fuck that is. More like, oh, I know you're having sex. So, no, you don't. I'm actually still a virgin. Thank you very much. There was no like smooth segue. Every time I was approached with a conversation around sex, it was always based on the idea that I was actively having it. And it was actually quite like deep and like saucy conversations that I actually wasn't prepared for. So I didn't have a sex talk.
It's kind of like chucked you in there, like, go.
Yeah, like my nan's mad open. Like, so I stay at my nan's at the moment. Mm-hmm. And my boyfriend stays over and she'll make like sex jokes about us all the time. And we're both just there laughing. But if he wasn't very like outgoing and funny and like childish like me, it would be very awkward because she just does it randomly. Like, there's no warning. She'll come in the room and be like, oh, no hanky panky tonight, guys? And do this weird little dance and like walk out. And I'm just looking at her like, this is my nan.
I love this.
Is my nan. What do you mean hanky panky?
No, but that's a vibe. Do you know why that's a vibe? I remember about like two Christmases ago, we had my grandma on my dad's side over at the house, right? And she's like Guyanese woman, just very straightforward talking, like she doesn't be around the bush. And me and my mum were cooking that Christmas. So I was in one of these like bandeau play suits.
So yeah.
My shoulders are out. Ooh, scandalous, my shoulders.
Imagine a common shoulder, you know.
Common shoulder. And then she just randomly goes, you know, back in my day, that's how the whores used to dress. I was like, I just started laughing. I was like, grandma, you can't call me a whore. Like, what do you mean?
This is first, first of all, grandma, it's actually Christmas Day.
Also that, it's Christmas.
Good vibes like, only, please.
Do you know what? Imagine that, like, we were all around the table, like setting up. I'm there, like dishing the food up into the serving plates, and she's talking about I look like a whore, and everyone just kind of stopped and like.
First of all, that is the best Guyanese accent I've ever heard.
Yeah, I think that my Guyanese accent is terrible, but thank you.
But no, it's true. And I don't know how old your Guyanese dad is, but my dad...
She's in her 80s, I think.
Yeah, so my dad was in his 80s too. And I remember when I first pierced my nose, which to me is a mundane thing. My mom is Asian and it's very like culturally relevant.
Yeah.
And he was like, you know, only ladies of the night pierce their nose. Then he comes over to me, makes the mark of the cross on my forehead, and he's like, we're going to church tomorrow.
No, but this piercing thing is actually mad, yeah, because I've got a nose piercing, but I had to get mine when I was in uni, and I came home and didn't tell my mom. I just had it and like would not show her that side of my face. Then my godmom was at home. No, honestly, I actually was. And my godmom was at my house, yeah, and me and her love piercing, like we both got loads in our ears, and she was like, oh my gosh, you got nose piercing. She was bare gassed, and I was like, no, Auntie Zilly, no. My mum was fuming. Like, even when I was younger, I wasn't even allowed to have a fake nose piercing. Like, you know, you could get those stickers.
That's what I used to wear for years, the little ones from Tootin.
Yeah, yeah. No, my mum was not having it, not having a bar. And I remember, yeah, I never ever wanted a tongue piercing, but I would comment on them like how I thought it looked cool and people were talking. And my mum would be like, you're not getting a tongue piercing. And there was never a reason why, you know.
Do you but know
the
what
firmness
it is?
Of the you're not getting a tongue piercing made me know not even to try.
No, do you know what it is? I remember because I got my nose pierced. I think when I pierced it when I was like 16, but I used to use the stick-ons like you did, and I did the exact same thing. I just didn't say anything to anyone. I just walked in the house and carried on as normal. Until one day, like a week later, my dad looks at my face and he grabs me by the chin. He's like, you stupid girl, like, because it's all like pushing something. Like, I was like, well, it's done now, we can't undo it, so here we are. But and I remember after that I wanted to pierce my top lip. I've got it done now. And my partner at the time, he was like, only hoes get mouth piercings. So the whole tongue piercing thing, I think that's why your mum was like, nah, that's the suck dick piercing.
Yeah, I think that's what it was.
I don't even know. I just think people just assume that, oh, like, you know, girls that have their tongue pierced, and they was like, eh, and then guys are like, oh, that must be mad, isn't it? So maybe that's just how, just how it happened.
The way you stuck your tongue out just then was jerks.
But you know, they always do, like, they, if their tongue is pierced, it's like in the pictures, they're like it's you so have to know that it's there.
Put your tongue back in your mouth, bitch.
Listen, they pay good money.
The little £4 sterling silver, stop it.
But it's clear that, like, the older generation, particularly in the Black community, has these stereotypes around sexual behavior and, like, shuns overt sexuality or any demonstration of sexuality. Where does that come from? I mean, because I feel like Black culture in general, even when you think about historically, is quite sexual, right? Or it is quite comfortable within the realm of sexuality and nudity and... So I don't know, where do you think this came from?
So you see, during lockdown, when all like the protests and everything was going on, I was like, okay, how can I contribute to this conversation, but with sex, but still make it relevant? So I decided to like delve into the history of like Black people and sexuality. And I guess long story, I'm saying long story short, like, I'm not going to be bare words after this. Long story short. Basically, in West Africa, you know, we never used to, dressing was more for, what's the word? Like convenience, like, okay, we're covering up our dicks because we don't want to get it caught on a bush, shit like that, more than like fashion. And sexuality was actually seen as something quite sacred. Like priestesses used to be sex workers. And then obviously when Westerners and Middle Easterns came over to do the whole slavery stuff. Yeah, when that happened, obviously they had different attire, you know, the whole thing was the more dressed up you are, the more modest you are. And right. then, you know, they come to West Africa and everyone's just running around titties, just swinging, like everyone's just having a good time. So there was the whole modesty thing from there. And then, you know, through slavery, a lot of slaves were getting raped and stuff. And then especially like biracial women, you know, they were sold into prostitution more often than not. So this whole thing, and then because they came over and they saw us kind of naked, it's like, oh, like they're savages, they're wild, they're just always up for it. So technically, or in their head, you couldn't rape a black person because they're animalistic and they just want it all the time. So because of that, they've sort of struck this sort of like cognitive dissonance between black people and their sexuality. So if we go forward, fast forward to like the 60s, 70s and stuff, when the black exploitation films started coming out, like, you know, like Shaft and Foxy Brown and all that kind of stuff. And it really glamorized the whole pimps and hoes thing. So the black women were always like, you know, big afros, these amazing bodies, but they're just naked. They'll shoot you, but they're naked while they're shooting you. So what middle-class black people started doing with the whole sexuality things, they distanced themselves from it and only allowed like the scholars to speak about it. People like W.E.B. Du Bois, they didn't really want to touch on it because, you know, the closer you were to purity and modesty, you know, the better you came across. And because of our history and especially the whole thing with raping, like I remember they said in the South, I think it was up from the end of the Civil War until up to like, I think around the 1960s, no white man was convicted of raping a black woman in the South.
That's true.
So, you know, things like that is why we have such a struggle with sexuality, like talking about it. Because the thing is, it's very present in what we do because our sexuality is very powerful. Like, I mean, come on, like it influences the whole fucking world. Like Miley Cyrus twerks because she saw a black girl twerk and then suddenly the whole world wants to twerk. Do you get what I mean? Or Kim Kardashian gets a curvier figure and suddenly, oh, everybody else wants it. Do you get what I mean? But we shy away from that because... Yeah. Even if we dance and we sing or whatever, we don't want to be seen as, oh, I mean, for you lot that go into secondary school and stuff, I don't know about you, but like when I was like 14 and stuff, we didn't give head. It's like, that was like white girls give head. I don't give head. I ain't no head. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like bare dumb.
And that even, was definitely a white thing.
Yeah, yeah. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I didn't give head till I was like 20 or 21.
I think I was, it was my boyfriend when I was 18 because I lost my virginity to another guy and I was sleeping with him for a while and then I got into a relationship a couple of months after that and yeah, like I remember the first time my partner's like, oh, let's suck my dick, man, and I'm like, nah, you think I'm a hen? You think I'm a
hen? Oh, that's like, I'm so childish. You think I want to go on my knees? Yeah, I'm like sitting down on the end of the bed. Thank you. I have standards. I'm like, I'm a fucking girl, you know. That's me.
And then everything changed.
I literally remember the first time giving head, and I'm like being so petty. I'm like, what is that?
All stingy with saliva.
Like, just I was just not on it. Like, they're licking it. Tanning, shine away, like, first worst, that bed dramatic for no reason. But yeah, so I think now that we're in the midst of this sexual positivity movement and stuff, and you are getting more black women in this space talking about these things, we're sort of starting to move out of that area, but we still have a lot of work to do. Because I think even for me, even though I am aimed at black women, a lot of my followers are white women because they're more open to speaking about these things. And yeah, like the black girls, like they'll be there, but like they'll be there in like pockets and they're interested and they pay attention, but they won't always like comment on a post or share the information or anything. So that's why, like, when I do my videos and stuff, I'm just like, just tell one friend. Like, I don't expect you to put it on your social media. Like, I know you're not stay. Like, just tell one brethren that this could help. Like, oh, Scotty was talking about this too, you know, it's kind of lit.
Yeah, no, you have to share the wealth, man. You have to share the wealth.
Yeah.
I guess now that you've said that, actually, mostly white women are kind of upfront and open to talking about, which we've established is as a result of colonialism and slavery, like everything else.
Yes.
it's always a white man's fault.
Always.
when black women do come to you, like, what's the biggest issue that they have, or what's the biggest dilemma that they come to you with?
I think across the spectrum, like, they're all kind of the same. It's most women want help with their sexual confidence in terms of, you know, they will have hang-ups with their body and may not feel comfortable being naked in front of, like, new partners. Because, you know, you get comfortable with your old partners and then your food first hanging out, you're like, it's fine, he loves me. and then you get with a new guy and you're like, oh, this shapewear might need to stay on the mat. I need to pretend it's a corset or some shit, make it sexy. Like... but yeah, so it's mostly sexual confidence, communicating with their partner, or I guess dealing with their sex drive as well. And a lot of them haven't had orgasms. Like, maybe they don't want to masturbate themselves.
Let's not be loud.
Oh, this is you. But yeah, like, they either, like, they don't masturbate because there's still some sort of shame attached to it, or they're just convinced, like, oh, it just doesn't work for me. Babe, you just haven't touched it right, trust me. or, you know, the most common one is that they cannot orgasm with a partner, and this is what is called the orgasm gap, which is basically 95% of heterosexual men will climax every single time that they have sex. But 80% of heterosexual women will not orgasm every time they have sex. That's only like 20% of women that are enjoying their life, which is why I'm here to help you lot live your best whole life. Like, we must all be coming in abundance because we deserve.
But do you know what's interesting, though? Because I was reading the other day about the link between, like, mental health and orgasms. Are you aware of stuff like that?
Yes.
I think that's quite an interesting... yeah, I think that's quite an interesting conversation.
Yeah, it is, because masturbation is essentially a stress reliever in one sense. You know, if you've had a hard day, or, you know, you're feeling a bit down and out, like, have a wank. And what's going to happen is, this is the science part, guys, you get this injection of, like, endorphins and dopamines, and these are chemicals that your body produces that make you happy, make you feel good. So, like, for example, I don't know, if you eat your favorite meal or you go to a theme park or something, those same, oh my God, what was the word that I just used? Chemicals. There we go. Those same chemicals are active with that. So yeah, and masturbating can also help cure, like, headaches and stuff. It's just basically a release of any pent up tension in your body. And it's also great for your skin as well. Just thought I'd throw that out there.
Yes. What, come?
No. Technically, yes, cum is good for your skin.
Oh, sorry. You that shit on my face too. The fuck?
No, literally, cum, sperm, it has zinc in it, and zinc is actually really good for your skin if you do want to put that on. I don't
know. Okay, a new face mask, girls. A new
there we go.
Face
mask. Free!
coming soon. Cum is actually good in general, right? Like, because it has loads of, like, protein.
Yeah, loads. It just tastes... So I don't know what the horrible noise was. But yeah, like I was saying, like, masturbating, like, when you actually orgasm yourself, I'm not actually sure what it releases, but you know, like they say, that, like, pregnant women that have a glow about them.
Oh, oxytocin, right?
Yes, right. So yeah, you get that whole thing. You get the whole afterglow of sex. So it just makes you look, like, more radiant and shit. So if you've been having a lot of sex or masturbating and not having a lot of orgasms, you will just genuinely, like, glow and be the goddess that you are. Because
yes, feel free after them legs been shaking.
There we go.
Sorry, I realised that I got this confused. We had Sarah Melinda on the Channel 4 Sex Clinic.
Yeah.
And I'm getting confused. I've orgasmed before. It's the coming that's my issue, but that's another day. Right. A story for another day.
Okay, cool.
This is the Dope Black Women Podcast.
I'm not even sure that I'm completely, like, clear on the distinction, actually, even now.
Between coming and orgasming?
Yes.
So because I read up about this as well, and the distinction that was sort of made clear to me is that orgasming is the feeling that you have. Mm. Sorry. Rashad's is like, yeah, I know that one.
You know your eyes are rolling back and it's not fake. And you're like, fucking hell! Stop laughing! I ain't gonna fake orgasms anymore, B.
Yes. But yeah, so the coming part is actually like the fluid, like what your body excretes when you orgasm. Okay. Right, yeah, so that's
and then where does squirting lie in that process? Because I must
guys, stop, the tingling's getting worse.
You need to get sorted out, Shad, because you're just in the car just like
you know what it was? I suppose it's my boyfriend just before this chat, maybe that's why. Oh, so I know I'll be going tonight. I'll be going there tonight. Yeah.
It's also his birthday this weekend, right? So
yeah.
Oh, you're gonna be doing super hole.
Mate, you know what the worst thing is? Can I tell you something? We digressed here, but briefly. Imagine my period is coming any minute now.
Oh, no.
And this is our first birthday together, and my period is coming. Rude.
Wait, how far is your period?
It should come on Tuesday or Wednesday.
Okay, well, what you can do is there's this pill called norethisterone. I can't spell it properly. I can never pronounce it, but it's called norethisterone. It's like a sort of period delay pill.
Ooh, okay.
I think you have to take it. You have to go to your GP first and be like, oh, I'm going on holiday. I'm going to be swimming. I don't want to put blood in the pool. Like, give some excuse that you're going away or something. And then they'll just do like a normal health check. Like, oh, are you pregnant or this or that, whatever. Generally, you'll probably be fine. And then they will send you to Boots or somewhere and you pick up this box of these little tiny pills, which you take, I think. It's either twice or three times a day, but you have to take it up to 3 days before your period starts. And then as long as you take it continuously, it will hold it off until you stop taking it.
I'm going to call 8 a.m. emergency appointment, please. Yeah. What's up, for Miss Roberts?
There's also... yes. There's also these... have you not heard of the... I always call them moon cups, but not menstrual cups. Yeah.
Oh,
have you
heard of them
before? Right. So there's a company called Intermina, and they actually do these menstrual cups that are designed for you to have sex with. So it's like you put it in, like, sort of like a diaphragm. I don't know if you have used a diaphragm before. Nobody really has. Oh, have you used one? Oh. Okay. She's not even. It's like, oh, you have. No. Yeah. Okay. So a diaphragm is like for those of you that listen, I don't know. It's like a female condom, but you insert it inside of you and it basically performs the job of a condom. But what this cup does is it works as a normal menstrual cup, so it will catch a period, but it creates an arc to stop your period blood from coming through your cervix so that you can actually have mess-free period sex.
Oh.
Yeah. Learn something fun every day with Scotty. Follow me on Instagram for more.
Wait, what are you guys' thoughts on period sex anyway? Like, just in general, taking it back to I may destroy you.
me personally, I've never done it. I don't, like, I'm a bit of a germaphobe. Like, a bit, I'm like, oh, it's dirty. I mean, for people that have lighter periods, I think that those are the people that engage in period sex, people that have lighter periods.
Yeah, people like that. Clock, clock, clock.
Yeah, that's me. That's me as well. Like, I have a heavy flow and I'm just not trying to pull your dick out and see no chunks on the end. I'm really not. I know that's very gross, but we are big people and we're talking about big people things, right? So let's keep it real. Like, I'm not trying to see none of that. So,
yeah, same. I can't bring myself to attempt to even try it. And I also have a heavy period, so it just doesn't,
Yeah. Because the heavy period crew worldwide. Yeah. That's what happens. My period is so heavy, it's disgusting. Like, and you know what, if I could stop my period today, I would stop it today. The only reason why I haven't done it is in case I want to have children. But the level, that the way it's so intense and takes over your whole life.
Yes.
Is mad. And I was reading this tweet the other day, and it was like, a period is not three or five days. And it was talking about all the different weeks leading up to it, how your mood changes, your body changes, your breast changes. Like, even yesterday, I brushed my nipple and my nipple was so sensitive. I was like, fucking hell. The fucking bitch.
That's just always like the signifier. Like, once your nipple's tired, it's like, here we go. Do you know, it's like,
it's human.
during our cycle, like, we literally get like 1 week to ourselves.
One week.
Like 1 week of normality, and then it's like the week before ovulation where you might get some cramps, you start getting a bit bitchy, your nipples are hurting, then you're on your period, and then it's like the week after your period when your body's trying to recover and go back to normal, then 1 week of normal again, and then back to the fuckery. It's just like, it's a lot.
I'm not gonna lie, I used to be on birth control, and the type of I was on depo, so I was on the injection, and I never had a period, and it was the best time of my life.
Oh, I can't imagine.
I wish I could go back to that, but like Shan said, it's, you know, I have to think about my potential baby.
Yeah,
so
that's the shit part,
you know.
It?
What though, Scotty, ages ago we spoke, yeah, and I spoke to you about that thing, what's it called, that party,
Torture Garden.
The torture garden. Basically, for people listening, Scotty was on a radio show that I worked on at the time. And afterwards, I was like, no, I need to find out more info. This sounds too interesting. And I was talking to her about it. And I still, to this day, have not tried. And now I feel like, yeah, now I'm so far from trying this a joke.
I thought you were going to say you're actually in
the game
now.
You think I'm there now reporting live from the talk to gardens? But no, what I was going to ask you was that a sexual fantasy for you? And if it wasn't, what is?
It was something on my to-do list because, like, I guess it was just so out there and, you know, I was really kind of trying to step into my sexuality fully, like, with both feet. Like, I wanted to do everything. Well, not everything. And, yeah, it's like, okay, I'll go and see what it's like, because my cousins go quite regularly. And they were like, come on, man, like, you like it. No. It's got all these people that you like in their weird outfits and whatever. So I was like, okay, cool. So, yeah, and it was really, going there, it was not what I expected at all. I mean, it partially was, but it was such a chill vibe. But, yeah, that wasn't my fantasy. I think my fantasy, it's weird, is it? Okay, well, not really. All right, so like one of my fantasies, but I don't know if I actually want to do it.
You do.
She's like, yeah, you do. No, like, literally, like in real life, I'm thinking to myself, like, how would I feel if I did this? So I don't, it might happen later down the line, but I want to have a threesome, but with like two men. Like, I want to but like, I don't want one in my butt because I'm scared of butt stuff. I'm going through a thing right now where I'm trying to get over my fear of butt stuff. You like butt stuff? Tub. Oh, you're scared as well.
Scared of,
okay, good, thank you.
That's actually the only reason I don't want to have a threesome with two men. Like, I've had a threesome with women before, but not two men, because it just seems like too much penis. Like,
is there anything as like too much penis?
No, but then the butt stuff. When I think about it,
I think like one in the like fanny and one in the mouth. Like, what's it called? Like a spit roast.
Oh, stop. That's what I think of. Tingling, you're making it worse.
Or also, like, I also kind of think of like, oh, like if the men were like bisexual and then like they can touch me and then also touch each other. That's in my head. But as I said, like, I don't know if this is something that I will actually go through with. Because, you know, in your head, it's like, yeah, this is lit. And then you get there and you took a bear crud before and you're standing there bear shy in the corner like, hello.
Listen, like, this is me. I actually spoke to my mom about it like a few years ago. And I was like, oh, I don't even know why I was talking about it then, because I did not have any sort of chest to be doing that. But I remember talking to her about the idea of having one. And I didn't even go as far as thinking about what the setup would be, yeah. And I know that with me, I spoke about on the podcast before, I've got to be extremely, extremely comfortable with the person before I have sex. So I was like, for me to do that, the person's probably my partner. If they're my partner, I'm not seeing them with another girl. And
there
I know the type of guy I like is not going to want to see me with another man. So it's a write-off.
So it really, there we go.
Just in my head.
Wait, so what is your sexual fantasy, Shan? Or what is your top sexual fantasy?
I don't really know. I definitely get turned on more when there's like a risk or a thrill involved. And I don't mean like sleeping with someone's man. I don't mean like that. I mean like when it's like, this sounds wild, but I'm in my car, so this is why. Like having sex on the roof. Like having sex in the, what's that thing called? The hot air balloon. Like, you know, risk.
Oh, yeah.
Is the hot air balloon going to drop? Is it not?
Having sex on Mount Everest. Are we going to die? Who knows?
Do you know what I mean? I like the risk. Am I going to get caught? I like that. And I like that in all situations where the risk factor is extremely high. Like, I really don't like it when it's like being caught by your parents. Like, I'm not on that. No one's parents is catching me in that sort of act. But also, going back to what we were saying before, the torture gardens is something that I've always thought about.
Mm-hmm.
But Scotty, for those who don't know, I feel like you'll be better explaining it than I would. Like, explain to those listening and to Leanne. Leanne, do you know about it?
I've never heard of it before.
Okay, so explain to everyone then what the torture garden is.
Okay, so torture garden is a fetish party, and basically you have to go there in fetish wear or they will not let you in. Like, they actually like turned away. What's the guy that done that? Prince Charming. Do you know what song I'm talking about? That old song. Adam and the Ant. I don't know if you all know them, but yeah, like,
no idea.
Okay, so yeah, like, even like they got that turned away because they weren't in fetish wear. So yeah, you have to go there in the clothing, and basically, yeah, it's set up for people that are into BDSM, which is what I'm into. For those of you that don't know what BDSM is, it is bondage, domination, submission, sadomasochism, and I think there's another one, but that's basically the gist of it. And yeah, so you go in and, you know, you take off your coat, you get changed into whatever outfit you came in, and then it's like there's a couple's room on the side, and you have to prove that you're in a couple to actually go in the couple's room. And
how do you prove that? Like, suck their dick on the spot?
No, so they'll have people standing by the entrance, and you have to kiss the person that you're with. And I remember kissing my partner, and they was like, no, like, kiss him properly. And I was like, oh, okay. So yeah, you go in like the couple's room, and it's just basically everybody fucking everywhere, like on chairs, on sofas, on beds, on the floors, on railings, on shelves, like just fucking.
Oh my gosh, man said on a railing.
Yeah,
because like, you're walking, the railing's cold. That's not even a nice feeling. The next sensation on your clit.
No, it's proper mad in there. And then as you walk on further, so past that. I mean, people are having sex everywhere anyway. So you'll have these stages set up where they have like fire dancers or like musicians, DJs. There's sort of different bar carts, and you walk through and then you go to like your right or something. And that's where the dungeon and the medical area is. So they'll have like a St. Andrew's cross, which is like an X cross. That's the St. Andrew's cross. And they can like bind you to that. There's like a sack that people can crawl inside and be beaten while they're sitting in this sack.
Man said being in a sack. Is it slavery? Is it slavery?
There's a bed, and I think they have like a resident dominatrix or something. And they also like have tools. Like, if you want to be whipped and stuff, you didn't bring your own stuff, like, you can use the ones that they have on hand. Then you walk down to the end, and there's like the medical area for people that are into like medical fetishes. Then you walk in, there's like loads of different floors. And what else is in the other ones? Oh, the couple's room is like a two-way mirror thing. So like, you can look out and you can see everybody on the dance floor, but they can't see you in there fucking.
That sounds high risk.
You're not allowed to bring phones in there, and you can't take any pictures. They have a resident photographer, so he'll like ask if you want to take a photo. Then you have to go to like the specific photo area, because like, they're very strict on that. Everything is super consensual. No one's allowed to touch you without your consent. Like, if they say anything, you know, untoward, you can get them thrown out. And that's one of the good things about it, because I remember feeling a lot safer being in this sex party than I have like being at a rave. Because the kink community is like very on this whole consent, and like, you have to, you know, respect everybody's boundaries and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, they had more rooms. I can't remember what was in the other rooms, but like, literally, like, you could just be standing up having a drink, and then you look over and someone's sucking a dick. I remember we walked down one corridor, and there was this woman like sat on the shelf, and she was getting eaten out by two men at the same time. And I was just like,
what? How the fuck does that? What?
She opened up her legs.
Like an extra wide vagina.
No, she just like spread her legs, and they just both like nestled in and made room for themselves. And I was living her best life. Yeah. She's living her best life.
you spoke about BDSM a minute ago.
Mm-hmm.
And like, for people who aren't, like, that's something that I haven't tried. So for someone like me, how do you, like, how would I get into that?
So you can start off pretty lightly. I think we sort of incorporate BDSM elements into our sex anyway. Like, you know, like hair pulling, a bit of choking, spanking on the ass. Like that's those are all sort of like essentially BDSM things.
Yeah.
So yeah, you can start off pretty light. Most sexual retailers, they'll do like beginner kits where it'll come with like a flogger. So what a flogger is, it's like a whip, but it's gentler because it has several different tails.
Oh, yeah, I have one of those.
Yeah, right. It's all coming out now.
So it's not so little cute of her hair and a bun. She's like, yeah, I've got a whip. Yes, I had a threesome. Yes. Multifaceted bitch.
And she's enjoying. What else will come in the kit? So like handcuffs, which is pretty, you know, simple. Everyone can use a handcuff.
Yeah.
You'll have like a blindfold, which is something else very easy to incorporate in there. What else would they normally give you? Some will come with nipple clamps. This will, I guess that will depend if you're into having your nipples squeezed really hard. They're very painful, but for some people they can be great.
So painful.
I love it.
Really?
Yeah, I'm a masochist. I love that.
I have a question because I'm a BDSM fan. Like, I have paddles and the flogger
and
all that kind of stuff. But when you're starting to date somebody new, how do you create the safe boundaries? Like, how do you let somebody know, actually, just hit the fuck out of me and I'm too much?
All right. So, what I would recommend is just literally, I think we overcomplicate these things. Just talk to people about it. One of the things that I say to my followers is, you know, if you can't even have a conversation about sex with them, why are they even between your legs if you can't even talk to them about being between your legs? You get what I mean? It should be easier for you to be comfortable with the people that you're sleeping with. So yeah, make sure that you're with somebody that you can communicate with. These conversations, you know, every time we're in the talking stage, the sex conversation comes up, right? So when it comes up, be like, okay, so what are you into? And, you know, they'll say whatever they're saying and then you share whatever you're sharing. And when you're safe with someone and you want to have a good sex life, you want to be sexually compatible with them. So I don't think it's a thing for you to be afraid of being like, oh, yeah, like I like to be spanked or whatever. Like, just say it. And most people will be like, oh, like this is new. This is exciting. Like, yeah, I'm up for that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. You know what's so funny? Because when you talk about like partners and stuff,
yeah,
sometimes I'll be online, like on the timeline, and I'll see people talking about things that I think is like a basic bitch thing. Like, no, let me give an example. Like sucking nipples, like sucking a guy's nipples. Like that makes men go wild. Don't tell me it doesn't. It does. They're liars.
It does.
The other day I saw a thread, and this guy was like, "No, not connecting. I'm like, gay blood. Shut up. You are gay. Because do you know how amazing it is? Do you know how amazing it is?" When you see that their toes start curling and then they start gripping the side of the bed, listen.
Honestly, like I say to women a lot, when you're in the bed with your partner, you know, I think a lot of the time we try to jump in and go for the obvious, you know, like, oh, touch his dick, play with his balls, oh, play with her tits, play with her vag, and like that's meant to be it. Like, no, the entire body is the sex organ, right? Like, explore everything, anywhere, especially areas where the veins are close to the surface, like a joint or something, like your wrist or like the inside of the elbow behind your knees. An obvious one is like the neck behind your ears. All of those areas super heightened. And then guys, like if you want to make a man's toes curl,
drop the tea. It's a bitch's birthday sale.
Basically guys have this thing called the P spot, right? And it's
their
prostate, which is in their butt, and that is where they will have their strongest orgasms. Not all guys are comfortable letting you do it, but if you find one that is, or you can get one someone to try it, like get some lube and give it a go. And
that's almost impossible to do though, to find
a man.
Are you saying like play with their bum hole?
Yeah, yeah, put your fingers in there, but
I don't want my finger up there though. That's you can so put. Rude. Is there a toy I can use or something?
Oh yeah, you can get like there. You can get butt plugs and P spot vibrators and stuff.
So what does a butt plug do?
So butt plugs, you can get ones that are vibrating or just normal ones, and they're just basically like anal stimulations. So I was gonna get one, but it's. Have you seen a butt plug before?
Yeah, it's like a weird okay. match thing.
Right, yeah. Okay, so yeah, basically, so you can get them and they're sort of like an, is it like the Ace of Spades, like the card? Like yeah, that yeah, sort yeah. of shape, yeah. yeah. And you basically just pop them in, and what they do is they create a pressure on the P-spot that can make sex more enjoyable oh. for you. Or you can use like anal beads and stuff like that, which are sort of like, they're little balls and they're joined together by a string, or they may, will be kind of stuck together and graduate in size. And you kind of like pop them up in there. And then apparently when the person comes, you're supposed to like pull them out really fast and they'll make them oh. come harder. Yeah. <What's going on? laughs> Like all kinds of stuff. But yeah, I think like really try to explore each other's bodies just beyond your genitalia. And to circle back to your, oh my God, I said circle back, Zoom meetings, let's circle back, yeah, to circle back to the BDSM question. Yeah, if you want to just introduce stuff into the bedroom with your partner, just have a conversation, just ask them about it. Or if you feel awkward, you can say stuff like, oh, you know, I've been seeing this, I saw this in the magazine, or I heard about this thing, and I would really like to explore that with you. Using the word explore and then saying with you, it makes them feel like they're part of your journey. You know, it's like they get to be the first one to do this thing with you. And people generally don't want to be bad in bed. So if you're saying like this is the thing that makes me come, they're probably going to be more inclined to do it. And a lot of people have quite vanilla sex. If you're bringing something to them new, generally they're up for it. Like I remember the first time I asked the guy to spank me, I was so embarrassed. Even while he was spanking me,
excuse me, can you just spank me, please?
Yeah, he's like, what do you want to do? And I was like, could you spank me?
By that time, people dried up. I can't be asking you three times.
Literally, like, and then I remember, like, he put me across his lap, and like I was just lying there with like my pants down, and he like spanked me, and like I enjoyed it so much, but I didn't want to sound that I was enjoying it, so I just enjoyed it in silence. I was like covering my face and giggling. It was so awkward. But the fact of the matter is that I spoke up for what I wanted, and I thought that he'd have this weird reaction, and he didn't.
Look, and I also did today. Like
he's like, yes.
I'm going for the spanking, but I get so embarrassed when it's actually happening. I'm like, I don't want to look like I'm enjoying it.
No, do you know what? Yeah, just be in your own. Have your moment. Like, you just have to not give a fuck. Like, if they're doing it already, like, it's like, here we are. So we might as well just ride this wave while we're on it, innit?
God. Shan, while we have our expert, Scotty Unfamous, here, are there any questions that you'd like to ask before we wrap up?
You know, it wasn't going to be about tips for turning on a man, but you've done it. So the butt plug will definitely be getting ordered today. Yeah, next day delivery, Prime. The worst thing is I use Leanne's Prime, so Leanne can see my order stuff.
So that's a nice silicone bejeweled butt plug that you bought.
Yeah, well, we finally ordered 100 pairs of batteries. Yeah, and mind your own. But no, I've actually, yeah, that's a butt plug is definitely something I've seen in my basket. But I didn't even know what it was for. This is what I mean. What I was saying earlier, like, I add all these things. Like, oh, yeah, yeah. I don't do anything.
Literally, I did a video on my YouTube. It's called Sex Toys 101. And I basically like name every single sex toy and tell you what it does and tell you how to take care of them and how to store them and where to throw them away. So like, if you want to like learn stuff about sex toys specifically, like there is a video just telling you all about that.
ShakiraScott.com. Tell us where we can find all of this great information. Tell us what you're working on. Where can people keep up to date with what you're doing?
Okay. Right. So
this is the point I was waiting for.
Yes, promotion. Right. So yeah. So everything from my books to my vlogs and blogs, everything that I do is on my official site, ShakiraScott.com. That's my actual name, by the way. Yeah, Shakira Scott. And you can keep up with me on Twitter and Instagram at Scotty Unfamous. That's UNFAMOUS. Yeah, that's about it. That's where you can find me.
And if you're what I'm working on, to have got a ticket, then get the virtual sleepover.
Yes, guys, I cannot wait to do this with you. This is going to be so fun.
So yeah. If you're listening now, you want to come to the virtual sleepover, unfortunately you can't. What you can do is put notifications on for our Instagram, and next time you'll be first to get it. Okay, okay.
There we go. Oh yeah, you also said, what else am I working on? So at the moment I'm doing workshops, and I'm working on putting a podcast of my own together, because I know.
Yeah.
And everyone's like, what is it going to be about? I'm like, it's a secret. So yeah, I'm working on those things. And yeah, for those of you that are going to be at the virtual sleepover, I can't wait to like see you and talk about sex toys and shit with you.
I have many, many more questions to ask, but
okay.
Yeah, there's a whole theory about penetration versus dick versus giving head that I have, and
okay.
We'll get to that for the virtual sleepover.
Yes.
Thanks so much for listening, guys. Don't forget to rate and subscribe to the podcast wherever you get them from. On Facebook and Twitter, we are Dope Black Woman, and on Instagram, we're Dope Black Woman 1. We'll be back with you next week. Until then, stay blessed and unapologetically black.
And stay all the way black.
Blackity black.
Black-tastic.
'Bout the virtual
sleepover,
Shan.
That's the end.
Okay,
no, because when this comes out, it'll be too late.
Oh, okay.
This is gonna come out on the 12th, and then the next day will be the thing. Right.